This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
It's time to take out the trash.
Hi, everyone. It's Dave on Turnbuckle Trash. And, man, we're going to talk to the final boss today. He is the final boss, not the boss like they got some lady in WWE. The final boss. He is none other than Rocky Mountain Pro's Bruce Wayans. How you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing great, man. You got to make sure you get that whole thing together. It's the final boss. Bruce Wayans. It all goes together like Tribe Called Quest.
Okay, I won't get the final boss, Bruce Wayans. This man is a professional wrestler and he is really good, man. I am a fan of the final boss. You know that, don't you, Bruce?
I do know that. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that because I look in the crowd and I spot familiar faces. And you, sir, always have on some bat gear. And anybody that knows me knows that I'm all bats all day. And you're one of the few people that understand that.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Man, I do.
Yes,
I get
all bats.
I get you, Bruce, because I guess it was about a year ago we met at a Devotion Championship Wrestling event. And you were just out in the crowd and you were wearing your Batman shirt. And I had to go over and talk to you because I am a Batman kind of guy. So before we get into this wrestling thing that we talk about, I want to talk to you about the love of the bat. Tell me about all bat all the time.
All bats all day is a paper chase, young David. And it's about being a billionaire. Mm-hmm. You know, not all of us were born a billionaire. And ain't nobody taking out my parents in the alley. But the bottom line is that money's going to be mine.
Yeah, I believe you do.
So, all bats all day is a paper chase.
Mm-hmm.
Not millions, but billions.
Say that one more time, because I like that.
Oh, not millions, but billions. That's a capital B.
Mm-hmm.
Billions.
So, what got you started into this all bats all the time?
Oh, man, back in my youth, it was black and yellow, you know, and everybody else was on board with Sucker Man. I forget what his real name. He's got an S on his chest. S stands for Sucker.
Sucker.
I wasn't digging the Sucker Man.
Mm-hmm.
I dug the black and yellow. You know, I like the shield on the chest. And then I found out about the money. Because you need the money to pull something like that off.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it, man. Day one. Day one in my youth, the final boss was born, and the paper chase began. And right now, you found me in the middle of it, you know, right at the breakthrough, mm-hmm. near the climax.
You're ready for that money?
Oh yeah, I'm ready.
Oh,
I'm ready.
Are we all? Hey, Bruce. You perform now, you perform with Rocky Mountain Pro. I wanted to talk to you about maybe some early influences. And we talked about the Batman, but what about some of the professional wrestlers? I mean, you've got to have liked the business to get into the business. What was some of your early days remembering of professional wrestling?
Oh, man, here's the thing. You know, I didn't know much about the business of wrestling. I just knew about wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that the best there is and the best there was and the best there ever will be was born in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And Bret the Hitman Hart showed me a lot in my younger days. Him and the Macho Man, the Macho Madness, as I like to call him. And then two guys that turned out, one was a baby face and one was a heel, but I never knew the difference. The Junkyard Dog and Bad News Brown.
Ooh, I love me some Bad News Brown. He was so much fun.
Man, have you ever seen anybody get hit with the Ghetto Blaster?
Ooh.
That'll make you not change the channel.
Yeah.
See what else is going to happen.
And I saw JYD. I saw JYD live in Hope, Arkansas. I saw, and he was so good. He was so much fun to watch.
I saw JYD in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Wow.
And I was one of eight dark-skinned people at the event.
Wow. Man. And he was, and you know, the thing about JYD, that was him. I mean, he was kind. He was tough as a $2 steak, as Jim Ross would say. But he was a genuine man.
Steak. You know how much a $2 steak costs?
$1.99. So, Bruce, I wanted to ask you your athletic background, because you obviously have done some athletics in the past, high school. Did you do any college and pro?
I did all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just go back to the beginning for you.
Okay.
In high school, high school football standout, Denver Prep League Hall of Fame.
Whoa!
A couple years ago, they inducted me into that. And then I played basketball, football, baseball. I was on a swim team. Then went on to college, played college football on a college scholarship, University of Nebraska at Kearney,
mm-hmm.
not Lincoln, not the Huskers.
Not the Huskers, the other
about,
one, yeah,
talking
yeah.
Talking about the Lopers.
Uh-huh.
So Lopers is short for antelope, which actually doesn't make sense, but I'm a Loper, and I bleed blue. So I went to UNK. Then when I was done busting heads there, I left school to join the Arena Football League, still on that same paper chase, trying to get to the NFL.
Uh-huh.
I played 7 years of arena football. I'm on the video game Arena Football 2, PlayStation 2. And I also trained kickboxing, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, which is also kickboxing.
Man.
And regular boxing. And a little bit of shoot wrestling.
Really, shoot wrestling, huh?
I retired shoot wrestling, undefeated in high school.
Dang. So, let me ask you about the Arena Football League real quick, because I was a big AFL fan and went to a lot of games. Who did you play for in the arena game?
Oh, so glad you asked. Get out your pen and paper.
I'm getting out that pen and paper now. Yeah.
Played for the Charleston Sand Sharks in Charleston, South Carolina. Played for the Omaha Beef. Played for the Laredo Lobos in Laredo, Texas. Played for the Corpus Christi Sharks in Corpus Christi, Texas. And played for the Colorado Ice, now known as the Colorado Crush, because the Colorado Crush gave the name away to the team in Fort Collins, the Colorado Ice. Or the Crush. And then Las Vegas Destroyers. That's a long... long, horrible story about the Las Vegas Destroyers. What happened in Vegas is going to stay there.
Well, the Arena Football League, I like I said, I was a fan of the AFL, and actually went to a couple of playoff games when Utah had a team years ago. And one of my best friends.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, one of my best friends was the play-by-play voice for the Arena Football League. So that was pretty cool. So, Bruce, you've got this varied background in athletics, and I'm impressed you're talking about the kickboxing and all the different martial arts and stuff. So what attracted you to doing the game called professional wrestling?
My second year into the MMA world, I had yet to take a fight. I was training with a buddy of mine out here named D. Ross, and we were training at Bobby Lashley's gym, and I would help D. Ross and Bobby Lashley get ready for their up-and-coming fights. and another guy named Will Smith. Real name, Will Smith.
Not the Fresh Prince.
No, not Hancock.
Okay. Yeah.
A different Will Smith.
Okay.
Will Smith, his wife's just as fine as Jada Pinkett, if not fine. But anyway, the three of them said to me, "Hey, when are you going to take a fight?" And I told them, "I ain't fighting nobody in this gym." You understand? And they said, "Well, if you're not going to take a fight, you should think about being a pro wrestler." I told them, "Oh my God, I love pro wrestling." And I, shortly after that, actually a couple of years later, I began my pro wrestling career.
So how was Bobby Lashley to work with?
I never wrestled with Bobby Lashley.
I wouldn't blame you.
I sparred with Bobby Lashley.
Uh-huh.
I used to spar with Bobby Lashley. I used to roll with him. And my first day boxing, Bobby Lashley knocked out half of my teeth. That's what it was like to spar with Bobby Lashley.
And you need your teeth now.
I needed that one. I did need that one because it's gone. And, yeah, that was a great introduction into the fighting world. And, you know, things have progressed quite nicely since then. And I haven't lost any teeth since then.
Well, I've seen you in the ring several times, and I'm going to give you a compliment. So, okay, you ready for this? I love the way you react with the crowd. I mean, you have a voice that projects very well, and then you'll say things to the crowd, and that is not something you can teach. That's got to be something inbred. You've always enjoyed performing, haven't you?
I believe you're talking about the fire, fire that comes off my lips every time I come through the curtain. And, yeah, that's a natural-born talent. I have worked on it throughout the years, but that fire is steady burning. It's actually cooking through my shirt right now. So that heat is for all. Just keep everybody warm while they're watching the show. I like that. I just made that up. But yeah, I like that.
I like that too. Now, you do a couple of different tag teams, and who are your tag team partners? I know that you have one that you tag team with a lot, and then you've got a little stable going too.
Oh, yeah. My tag team partners are as follows. Number one, you got the Knights of Wrestling. It's myself and Porter Blake. And that's coming from Rocky Mountain Pro out to Devotion Championship Wrestling in Salt Lake City. And then you have myself and Chongo Bronson out in Rocky Mountain Pro right now. We are Fisticuffs Incorporated, LLC, .com, .org, .net. And then my new stable, the future of professional wrestling, the future of the industry has already begun. You were witness to it, sir. The future of pro wrestling is summed up in two words, Black Horsemen. Black Horsemen were not put together, but made together. And myself, the final boss, Bruce Wayans, the awesome one, Joe Bart, the Rocky Mountain Dragon, Atiba, and Zim Damascus are the future of professional wrestling. Not to mention, we are also recruiting. We're also recruiting, and we've got our eyes set on an enforcer for the group.
Now you've had some run-ins with that enforcer. How's that progressing there? Because I know that is one bad man.
You know, Marlon Bishop. That's one bad mamma jamma.
Yes,
he's a big bad mamma jamma. All right, Joe Barton. He went one-on-one with Marlon Bishop. First episode of DCW. Check that out on YouTube. Marlon won. Marlon's victorious. Joe hit him with everything he had. I didn't like that. I didn't like what I saw. They shook hands afterwards, man to man. It was good sportsmanship. But I didn't like the result. So the Horseman and I went after Marlon Bishop. We went after the enforcer. And we took it to him, David.
Mm-hmm.
We beat him up. We beat him down. but I wouldn't call him a sucker, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Suckers suck.
And Marlon, you got to listen to the man. You got to listen to Bruce. If you want your career, join the Horsemen. Join the Black Horsemen. I'll back you up.
That's
here,
right,
Bruce.
The future.
The future.
Because me and Marlon went head to head.
Yes, you did.
And he survived that encounter. I don't know who won. I don't remember. But he survived it. He's surviving it alone. Pablo didn't survive it. DCW episode 1 on YouTube. Watch it. Pablo did not survive his encounter with the final boss.
Mm-mm.
But Marlon Bishop did.
Mm-mm.
And that says something. That says to me that he's got what it takes. He's got the raw talent. He's got that heat that warms the crowd. And he will fit in right nice with my homeboys. And Harlem Nights. Have you heard about Harlem Nights?
I haven't heard about Harlem Nights now. You got to tell me about Harlem Nights.
The final boss and the awesome one, Joe Bart, tag team Harlem Nights. All right? The Black Horseman is so great a stable that there are two tag teams inside the stable.
Mm-hmm.
You got my homeboys, Atiba and Zim, and then you got Harlem Nights, Bruce and Joe. And one day soon, all of the members of the Horse will be an interactive group of tag teams. Each pairing will have its own tag team moniker and label and be able to go out and perform at just a higher level as any two pair of horsemen are potential tag team champions.
Did you know that your guy, Joe Barton, and I have a little connection because we went to the same school? Of course, I did a long time before he did, back in Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, out in Memphis? That just means that you and Joe know where to get the best barbecue in the whole world.
You're talking to a barbecue fan. Got some in the ribs, going to beat tomorrow morning on my tongue. Got some ribs in the tongue.
Now
so.
You're talking.
That's
now
right.
You're talking. You ain't but 8 hours away, but I'm about to come out there and get that.
Uh-huh.
Also, if you're both from Memphis, that means that I personally won't be traveling to Memphis without either one of you. Memphis is one of those dangerous places where you have to take a local.
Oh, you have to. And
you have
Joe knows a little bit more about Memphis now than I do. I haven't been to Memphis in a long time. Still got some family there. I love Memphis. So.
You still sound like it. You still sound like you love Memphis.
Yeah, I do. So. Well, Bruce, I was going to ask you a little bit about Porter Blake. Porter Blake. That's the first time I saw you was in a tag team with Porter. You guys make a great tag team. You have a great chemistry between the two of you.
You know, the Knights of Wrestling, myself and Porter Blake, we go way back. He was one of the people that helped train me, helped teach me this sport. He taught me the vicious side of wrestling. That is why we are a great tag team. Because Porter Blake matches my intensity. Porter Blake, at times, is more intense than myself. And that's a big, hefty compliment. And he's out on his own right now, tearing up DCW, beating up everyone he can get his hands on, boys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
And
he put a beating on Manny Lemons, I'll tell you that.
Oh, he put a beating on Manny Lemons, and I enjoyed it myself. Manny Lemons, I hope you enjoyed that whooping too, because I saw it, Porter Blake saw it, and all of the Black Horsemen saw it, and it was glorious.
Well,
I also don't recall who won that. Not a big deal.
We're
talking about whippings. Mm-hmm. Okay? And Porter Blake gave Manny Lemons a whipping. Write that down.
Now, part of your Atiba, and who is his main tag team partner, Atiba and
Zim Damascus.
That's right.
The hatinest hater of all time.
They put the whipping on the brother Smith, too, didn't they?
Oh, God bless them, they did. And you know what? I will pay them good money to beat up the brother Smith again. Nothing makes me happier in this world than beating up the brother Smith. And if it's not me doing it, if it's not Porter Blake doing it, I definitely have my homeboys do it, Atiba and Zim Damascus.
Are they going to go after the titles?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Zim and Atiba our future tag team champions. They will bring that gold back to the Black Horsemen, because as I was talking to T-Bud and Zim the other day, and I told them that the Brother Smith wanted those tag team titles, and they got them. But the Black Horsemen need that gold. We need it, David.
Yeah.
And we will have it. We'll have that gold. We'll have Tombstone Jesus's core championship. You hear that, Tombstone Jesus? The final boss wants your core championship.
Now, you messing with Tim Tombstone. That is a tough old bird right there now.
He is.
Mm-hmm.
Tombstone Jesus is tough as rocks. He's hard as nails. Okay? But I don't need to prove to Tombstone Jesus that I'm a bull. He's going to hear me coming right before I run him over.
That's right.
And I hope he's ready. I hope he got his hat on. I hope he's got his tomb suckers with him. I hope the Brothers Smith are there licking their wounds after getting beat up by my homeboys. And I hope Manny Lemons is watching as the Black Horsemen take all the gold in DCW, because there's another belt out there.
Ooh.
There's another sucker holding on to it.
Ooh.
And we want that too.
Man.
But for
you
now,
got some plans.
We'll deal with the Brothers and Tombstone.
Yeah.
Oh, big plans.
Big plans.
Big plans.
So
worldwide.
Let me ask you a little bit more personal question. How has this pandemic affected you and your training and your teammates, man? You know, because this has been hard on everybody, man.
I know it's been hard on everybody, but my team, my crew, they're the hardest working group in pro wrestling. They're the hardest working group in the professional world. Pick a business, and we're the hardest working. So, personally, I do 300 sit-ups every morning as soon as I wake up. Do curls till I can't throw my arms. Do squats. I ride bikes. I do everything I can to keep myself in shape. As soon as I get back in that ring, I'm taking somebody to Bump City. In the meantime, the awesome one, Joe Barton, he's a combat vet, man. He's an ex-MMA fighter that took fights and won fights. And he's out there training Colorado Springs right now. Atiba and Zim, my young lions, all they do is train. Like, they train more than anybody I've ever seen. Them boys is in the best shape. I mean, they both got 8-packs. You only need 6.
You only need 6.
They both got 8.
Uh-huh.
They both got 8. They're both little chocolate Johnny Morrisons. And so, as much as it sucks not being able to go out there and beat up people for money like I like to, I'm in the best shape I've been in since I started wrestling 3 years ago.
Wow.
And I know my boys are out there working just as hard. So when the show goes back on, when the lights come back on, we're going to knock it out.
Hmm. Well, how can people watch you on Rocky Mountain Pro, my man?
Oh, man, they can watch Rocky Mountain Pro on Twitch. They can watch Devotion Championship Wrestling on Twitch. They can watch DCW episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The Black Horsemen are on every episode.
Well, I got to get me some Bruce Wayans gear, man. I got to get me some merch, you know. So you're gonna
got to get some Bruce Wayans gear. Bruce Wayans store is gonna be opening here next week. My first shirt is gonna sell like hotcakes. I'm gonna get you. The design, probably tonight. You'll get a sneak peek. You share it with anybody. I'll find you, David.
Okay.
I'll find you, and I will rule you. That's a little Jimmy King right there.
But
I trust you. I trust you with the design. Design's gonna be coming out next week. It's gonna be on Pro Wrestling Tees. I already have a shirt on Amazon through Rocky Mountain Pro, and the Black Horsemen shirts are coming soon. Black Horsemen merch. Get it now, because it's going to be as sought after as any black and white or black and red piece of NWO merch.
Yeah.
The Black Horsemen is the future of pro wrestling. Everyone who's getting to witness this, it's like you're watching Peyton Manning play football, Tom Brady. It's like getting to watch Michael Jordan play basketball. Or in your case, you get to watch the final boss, Bruce Wayans, beat up suckers up and down the streets of Utah.
Well, Bruce, I cannot wait till we can get this pandemic over with so you can come back to Salt Lake City, DCW, and just beat up some suckers. I mean, that's all it's for, because you and I.
That's what I do.
That's what you do.
You got to do what you're good at, David. Mm-hmm. And that is what I'm good at.
And that's why I'm good behind the microphone, because I'm a big old fat old man, you know?
Oh, man. Hey, you know, your beating up days are behind you. That's all right. You leave it to us youngsters. All right, one day I'll pass the torch and I'll come sit down next to you and we'll talk to the young bucks, to the young lions, and see what they have to say, and we'll just pass knowledge on to them.
Well, Bruce Wayans, Rocky Mountain Pro, DCW, and more. It's been a pleasure to talk to you this afternoon, my man. I cannot tell you how much getting to see someone who is also a big Batman fan, a pro wrestling fan, as you are, to kind of connect with a little bit. It's been my pleasure. You know that?
My pleasure too, sir. I was, of all things, when I got out to Salt Lake City, I was expecting to see the Brother Smith. I expected to see him riding bicycles. I was expecting to see Tombstone Jesus. And don't get it wrong, I like Tombstone Jesus, but I want that title. It's nothing personal. Mm-hmm. But what I was not expecting to see was a fellow Bat fanatic. I was not expecting to see someone who else who understands the black and yellow. And there you are, David. I saw you. I saw you from across the room. And I said, that man's got style.
Styling and profiling, just like the Nature Boy. I'm too hot to handle, too cold to hold, too fat to be where it's at. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I like that. I like all that.
Woo! Woo! But Bruce, it's been a pleasure, my man. I want you to be safe out there and tell all the Black Horsemen I said hi, because you guys got a really good thing going there. I like that faction. I really do.
Hey, we appreciate you, David. Okay. It was great talking to you today, sir. I'll be in touch, and we'll be back in the we'll be back in action real soon, because I'm ready.
Yeah,
I stay ready. I don't have to get ready. I stay ready.
Well, tell me why it's all bats all the time. Now, give me the reason.
It's all bats all day. It's like that because the final boss, Bruce Wayans, has to be a billionaire covered in gold. That's why I joined this business. All these bats are simply what I carry to the ring. It's not actually Batman. Is I am carrying a bat, man.
And sometimes you do carry a bat.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Physically carrying a bat. And the final boss is the future of professional wrestling. All bats all day means if I want to change my name to the Choker, everyone needs to learn that you never rub another man's rhubarb.
Just don't be two-faced about it, right?
Don't be two-faced about it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and
my
it's
man.
It's not who I am underneath. It's what I do that defines me.
Well, Bruce, thank you so much for joining me today on Turnbuckle Trash. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I'm looking forward to watching more of your career. And when those big guys give you a call, you're going to let me know, okay?
I will let you know.
Okay.
First, you'll get the exclusive.
All right. Hey, Bruce, thanks a lot.
All right.
You guys take care of yourself, okay? Honestly, you know, we're in just a weird time, and we're just trying to do our best. I know you are, too. So you just hang in there, okay, brother?
Survive, David. Survive.
I will.
Survive through this.
We will, man. You take care of yourself, okay, Bruce?
You too, brother. Appreciate
okay.
you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Wait for the signal. Wait for it.
Let's go.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
And now we have Chris on the mat, and we're actually recording this on James Christopher Evans' birth date today. Happy birthday, Chris, and may all your wrestling be bloody. Be Memphis wrestling. Okay, Chris?
Well, thank you very much. 44 years old. Here we go again.
Well, you know, I'm getting older myself. I'm going to be a 63 years old as of a week from Saturday.
Well, we can both have a glass of Geritol and, you know, just have a great old time. But thank you all, everybody that gave me the birthday wishes. Really appreciate it. We're going to talk about some professional wrestling. And before we do, let's bow our heads for crime time.
Yeah, Shane Gaspar.
Yes.
His body
39 years old.
Yeah, his body was found the day that we're recording this. His body was found near Venice Beach. A real heroic effort by him, saving his son in the riptide. And, you just got to feel bad for his friends and his family. And I thought Crime Time was such a fun wrestling tag team. I loved watching Crime Time. So.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so what is on the agenda for today?
Let's talk some Money in the Bank and the men's winner. Kind of a surprise, none other than Otis. What did you think of Money in the Bank?
It was a shock. It was good. And the two that got the briefcases, to me, they deserved it. I think that it was a shock for Otis to get it. I wasn't really picking Otis to win. I was picking the King, Baron Corbin, to get it. But it was a shock that they let Otis, and this man has just rose up from the bottom of the barrel to now he's holding the briefcase. That could he become a new Universal Champion? Let's see. Maybe. Would he look good with that belt around his waist?
I think it'd fit around his waist.
If it would fit, yeah. If it would fit.
Get a couple extensions around his. I shouldn't say anything, you know. If I fly, it's Extension City here, you know.
Let me ask you this. When he got the briefcase, what did you think? What was your reaction? Could you not believe that they would let someone like Otis win?
Well, you know, it doesn't surprise me. I kind of like it because it was completely unexpected. I don't know if there was anybody who was saying, yeah, they're going to let him be Mr. Money in the Bank. And because, I mean, you know, he's a tag team wrestler in the first place. And they just did this storyline with Mandy Rose. And Braun Strowman is your champion right now. And are they going to work a campaign with Braun Strowman and Otis, which they did a little tag team action the other night on SmackDown? I don't dislike it. I kind of like it, but the Money in the Bank match itself, I was not a fan of. I just thought
it was the weird how they had all these wrestlers, and you know what? I would hate to see the cleaning bill for WWE corporate right now of everything that went on. And even Vince McMahon showed his little funny face in there with, who was it?
Daniel Bryan
and AJ Styles.
Yeah, and that was a good bit. I enjoyed that bit. Yeah. I did not like seeing Doink the Clown because this whoever they had under the makeup had none of the features of Doink the Clown.
Doink is dead too.
But there were several wrestlers who portrayed Doink. Yeah. I mean, several of them. I admit to that. And then I thought with a little bit more planning that they could have done some more clever bits. I mean, I think you and I talked about it. I would have liked to have seen Asuka when she got into the elevator to have somebody on each floor hitting that button to make it stop at that floor and delay her a little bit. I thought that would be kind of fun. But they did that on one floor. Then they had their food fight, and they had AJ Styles going into the room with the Undertaker. I thought that was fairly clever. Dana Brooke grabbing the Money in the Bank in the office room where they discussed Money in the Bank and thinking she had won. It's so obvious there was Stephanie McMahon who probably recorded her bit just right before the broadcast. But, you know, I got to say this, and I'm going to say it one time. I give the WWE credit
Yeah.
Because I might not have liked the match too much, and there were clever parts, and I kind of liked the ending, but at least they tried to give us some entertainment. And
they did.
I thought it was hit and miss. But let me ask you about Otis. What do you think about Otis?
I've done some research a little bit about him. He's been to, was it Rocky Mountain Pro Wrestling or something like that, like you told me. But Otis has just come out of the woodwork from NXT to now mainstream media. He's not box office, but he's to the point now where the fans are just going crazy over this man.
Well,
is he the next, Jim Cornette put it best. Is this man the next Dusty Rhodes?
Hey, that's a pretty good explanation for him. I mean, I've had my problems with James E. Cornette over the last couple of weeks, but man, it could be. But coming up in our next segment, when we talk to Trent Hunsaker, we have a lot of background about Otis and how he got his start in Colorado with Rocky Mountain Pro Wrestling, which we have featured a lot of Rocky Mountain Pro Wrestlers on our particular podcast, including Bruce Wayans, who you heard earlier. But I'll let Trent go into more of the background of that. But it is interesting how he got started. And this is a legitimate Olympic athlete, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, this guy is strong. He has wrestling skills. And I think when you talked about Dusty Rhodes, he has the personality that could do it. I'm interested in that kind of analogy right there with the American Dream. I'll be interested to see how they handle that.
Well, like James Z. Cornette said, look, he's not the greatest looking man in the whole world, but he's got this life about him like Dusty Rhodes had. I mean, he cut a real good promo, but everybody treats him like he's the lowest part of dirt, but the man can wrestle.
Yeah, he can do it.
But I would love, it would be funny to do if they ever had a past meets present. Have Otis come out in the old American Dusty Rhodes' outfit, the polka dots and the black on there.
Don't doubt that might not happen. I think it would be funny.
It would be funny to see him do that, but you know what? It would be a tribute to Dusty Rhodes.
And you know what else it would do?
What's that?
It would get a whole bunch of old school wrestling fans all ticked off. Oh, the social media. Oh, I can see it now. They would go crazy. Yep. But I personally would like it.
He's not the greatest looking man in the world, but he reminds me of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, after all, what are we talking? We're talking entertainment. We're talking that it factor. And I don't want to put the label onto him too quick, but he is entertaining. The crowd seems to really get into him because he is, quote, an everyday man. He works hard. He's a big old redneck dude. And when he does that, the caterpillar. They don't call it the worm. They call it the caterpillar. The crowd goes bananas. Yep. Hey, more power to him. I'm liking where you're going with this, Chris.
Yeah. I just wonder what happened to his tag. I mean, does his tag team partner took off or is he injured?
It might have something to do with the travel restrictions and all the COVID-19 things going on. Yeah, I was wondering about that the other night when Tucker wasn't there. He has wrestled. He was part of WrestleMania. He was the weeks before and afterwards. But for some reason, they're using this push to kind of – I'm just hoping they don't bury Tucker or a feud between the two of them. I would hate that because I think they should get the tag titles first.
I really don't think that's going to happen. I mean, if the Money in the Bank briefcase is for anything, U.S., Intercontinental, Tag Team, it doesn't matter. So if he's going to do anything, I think he'd probably do that for the Tag Team titles. But I don't really know. But let me ask you this question. How are you liking the situation with the Intercontinental title, what they've done to Sammy?
I am to the point where I'm wondering if it is a work, but if it is something because Sammy hasn't been able to be there because of the COVID-19 and the restrictions and the health concerns. I don't like it, but if it is storyline, I like it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, if they're doing this to build a storyline, whoever the eventual winner is for the IC title, and then having Sammy come back and have a feud with that person, that I kind of like. But if the people at Titan Sports decided to strip the title from him because he could not get into the country or maybe some health concerns and he decided that he didn't want to, that's going back on their word, where they said there would be no repercussions if you decided not to perform during the pandemic. So I'm just hoping it's storyline. I hope it's storyline.
I hope it is too. But, I mean, Sammy, this is the very first big push this man has had ever since in the WWE. I mean, he's finally getting the title around his waist, which he's deserved something for a long time. But, I mean, he's had the NXT championship, and now he's got the Intercontinental. More power to you, Sammy. I hope that this is a work and you come back and whoever wins the title and you can have a feud with him, make a good storyline. But speaking of storylines, too, have you been watching the documentary?
On The Undertaker?
Oh, yes.
Woo, baby, is that good?
I tell you what, it has really opened my eyes to see what this man has actually gone through.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
The first two episodes are out right now. I have watched about half of the second one. I finished right when he had his second hip replacement, and you got to think about him wrestling with one hip that had the hip replacement, and then his other hip was hurting so bad he could barely walk when he did that match with Roman Reigns, and to see his reaction. And the disappointment that The Undertaker, Mark Calloway, had because he could not perform up to what he thought was his abilities against Roman Reigns. I thought it was quite eye-opening. I tip my hat to the documentary people at the WWE Network. They knock it out of the park. They do great work with their documentaries.
Well, there was one part of the documentary where, you know, when they went over to Crown Jewel, it was The Undertaker and Kane and Triple H and HBK. Uh-huh. And even Triple H said, this was a train wreck.
Oh, yeah.
This was an absolute train wreck. It was awful. It was the worst match. And, we said that before. It was the absolute worst match we've ever seen.
And that was the one where Triple H tore that muscle on his arm, the pec muscle, right? Mm-hmm. And still competed.
Yes, I believe it.
And The Undertaker wasn't physically in good shape. And so if you get a chance, get the WWE Network and watch The Undertaker. What is it called? The Last Ride?
The Last Ride.
It is incredible. It's going to be a 5-part series, and I highly recommend it. It is very well done. So, and if you're an Undertaker fan, like I think everybody loves The Undertaker and Mark Calloway. And then seeing the interaction between he and Michelle McCool. I don't know if you caught the thing about where Mark was telling how he really kind of fell for Michelle because she could actually throw a football, not like a girl, but actually get a spiral on it. I thought that was pretty cool. Now, my wife's in the other room, and she knows this. Uh-huh. She's probably listening to me right now saying, what's he going to say about me now? One of the things that attracted me to my wife was on our first date, I went to go watch her play softball, and she could really throw the softball. And I said, hey, that's pretty cool. She's a good athlete. And I just thought it was funny that The Undertaker said that same thing about Michelle McCool. And they actually showed some Powder Puff football footage from her high school days, I guess, being a quarterback and throwing a really nice pass to somebody. So I just thought it was very, very telling and a very, very interesting part of that documentary. Oh, yeah. Teresa says I was a fullback. and she got knocked out of running for a touchdown by a radio station mascot.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and that's a radio station that's in my radio station group I work for. It was the KVNU Chicken, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. It stopped my wife from scoring a touchdown.
Oh,
not fair. Not fair, I'm telling you.
Well, that's when you said the Colonel, come on in, Colonel, make him a bucket. Let's break away from the WWE and how about a little bit of AEW?
AEW getting ready for Double or Nothing this Saturday night. That is the 23rd. They're not doing it in Las Vegas. I think they're doing it in Jacksonville, aren't they?
Yes, they're doing it in Jacksonville.
And by the way, Zane is going to be in Logan, Utah this weekend. And I invited him to come over because I'm going to be purchasing the pay-per-view and watching. What about yourself?
I'm going to give it a shot, see what if I can do. I've trying to make some arrangements around. Going to be moving to Mooresville here shortly with my new job. But I will try to get AEW and watch this because I want to see if my prediction comes true and they put the title on Brody Lee. Because if they do, that'll be a big shock for me.
Yeah, so, Brody Lee.
I hope it happens.
And John Moxley, I like the way they set it up. And once again, I give AEW credit. They take time to set up their pay-per-views because they're only doing four per year, where the WWE is trying to do something about every week or every month. Seems like every week. But they're trying. And I think it takes away from setting up a storyline to the conclusion that a pay-per-view should have. But this one's been set up pretty well with Moxley and Brody Lee, the leader of the Dark Order. I'm excited for that one, and I'll tell you why now. I am stoked for Cody going up against Lance Archer. That's the match I want to see.
Well, basically, I want to see that myself. That's going to be a back-and-forth match, and those two can really tear down the house. I mean, the one thing that I just want to see, I know it's going to be an empty arena again. Let's see what AEW can do on their pay-per-view like the WWE does.
Well,
and it's going to be kind of interesting to see what they do.
They have done a better job with empty arena than the WWE.
Oh, yes.
Far better because they allow some of the support staff, they allow some of the wrestlers to interact and to be part of the show as the crowd. Now, in the last AEW, I think it was last week, they probably had 50 to 100 people making noise, and that really added to the excitement of the match. I bet they do the same thing. They might even bring in some other people to add to the excitement because things are loosening up now. I'm not sure about Florida, about how many people they're allowed to have in a gathering. But I think the more they can get in there and having the more crowd noise, not piped in, just crowd noise, maybe set up microphones all over the area to get things going. I think that will add so much to Double or Nothing coming up on Saturday night from Jacksonville. And I got to tell you, I have really enjoyed the AEW matches so much more without a crowd than WWE overall. I'm just excited for it.
Well, let me ask you a question. Have you kept anything up with NWA? Because I have not had a chance, still not had a chance yet.
No, I have not. I have been, you know, and I'm still an NWA fan, and I'm going to try to catch up here soon. But, you know, I'm like the rest of you. I am at home, but I'm also working from home, and I'm getting up 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning to do my radio show. And then I have other commitments throughout the day with my work and some other things. And I'm just going to say right here, yesterday I got some bad news. You know, I got to have another wrist surgery, so I'm going to be dealing with that over the next couple of weeks, too. This will be number 3 on my left wrist. I'm just so happy about that. So
I bet you are. Well, let me ask you this right here. We'll go back to the WWE. Are you surprised that there's going to be a new mother?
No, not at all. I'm happy for her. I think it's probably with mixed emotions for Becky Lynch and Seth, you know, to be honest with you. They're happy because you've seen some of the social media posts that Seth Rollins has and Becky when they found out they were going to be parents, and they are engaged, and I think I'm excited for them. But, you know, when you work at something so hard, especially like Becky, and I'm going to just put it out there, it's not a sexist comment by any means, but anytime a woman is performing in the ring, that is something that is the possibility at any time where she might become pregnant and have a child.
Yes.
And I admire them for doing it. It happened to Awesome Kong. Remember when she was doing her program with Leigh Cool, Michelle McCool, and But because they were doing that program, and Awesome Kong became pregnant, and she had to quit at that point. So it's happened at other times. But congratulations to Becky and Seth. I hope they have a very healthy child, and Becky can hopefully find her way back into the ring somehow. And if not, hey, it was a great run for Becky Lynch, and I bet she will be back. She will be back.
She held that title for over a year. I'm really happy for Asuka as well. Now she's a Grand Slam champion. She's held every belt, every woman's belt in the WWE, which that's not too many. But she's held from the SmackDown to Raw to NXT to now the tag team titles. So she's a Grand Slam. Congratulations. It's well-deserved for Asuka. And what's next for the WWE? What's next for the NWA? What's next for what's Devotion doing right about now? How's Devotion holding up?
Well, we're going to be talking to Trent Hunsaker coming up in just a little bit. Now, once again, Trent is not a performer. He's kind of a behind-the-scenes guy. He's the one that puts the TV show together. He's the one that does all the photographs. And basically, he does everything for that. He puts the show together. He puts the graphics together. He does the photography. He sets up the cameras. And if you watch the TV program, he's the commentator. And so he does a little bit of everything. And then on this coming Saturday show, our Sunday show on the CW out of Salt Lake City, and I think about 3 days later, it will be available on YouTube. You get to hear the greatest ringside announcer of all time, myself, introducing people like Tombstone Jesus.
Well, I almost got a controversy going between Manny Smith and Tombstone. I told Tombstone, I said, you know what? To put those butts in those seats, I think that you should put your core championship against Manny for the BCW championship. And he says, can't go against my brother. Then Manny chimed in. He just put a thumbs up. I went, oh, shoot, now I've done it.
Oh, you know who's going after both of them, though? If you heard earlier, it's Bruce Wayans. And then Marlon Bishop.
He's a beast.
Marlon Bishop is making kind of inroads to trying to get back at Manny Lemons. I think it was about 3 weeks ago he made the comment that, hey, Manny, you owe me. And you know what that means. Now, by the way, it looks like the possibility sometime in early June that there might be a live event again for DCW. I don't want to put words in their mouth. I've just been hearing it. Trent and I talked about it. And then, if you're listening to us and you live in the Utah area, coming up on my birthday, by the way, May the 30th in West Valley City, Rekha Tahaka, who is an up-and-coming star, I'll tell you that, and she's a beautiful lady and one of the nicest people you ever want to meet. I'll just say that right now. I think the world of her. But she is actually going to cook some Samoan and Polynesian food, and they're going to have a big barbecue and cookout for DCW fans. Of course, it's a fundraiser for DCW. Nice. I think that's going to be in West Valley City. And since it is my birthday, but I also have some other plans, I got to get ready for this surgery, I don't think I'll be able to make it. But I do wish them well.
Okay. Well, we hope that your surgery goes well and all is good for that. And I was wishing that my evil partner here was going to be there so we could have our little debate. But he'll be with you. What is it? He'll be with you. What?
Saturday
tomorrow
night.
Or
Saturday night?
Yeah. Okay. We'll see if he can get a debate going, or he can have a promo class, and we'll see what happens.
We got to get you to the next pod. I want you two to just do a segment together.
Hey, that sounds like a winner.
I think just two of you.
Yeah. Well, we all have fun on this podcast all the time,
right?
And yeah, we do have our differences, but like we've always said, we can respect each other because, heck, we're not professionals at this, but we know what we like and we know what we want to see.
Right.
So, I really don't have anything else. I haven't seen anything on New Japan or anything. All these wrestlers are getting cut, and they're all going over to AEW. It's kind of amazing.
Drew Gulak is the latest from WCW to get cut, and that's a shame because he and Daniel Bryan on SmackDown, did you see that match, the two of them?
That was the most that was good. And then all of a sudden he gets, that's it.
Yeah.
That was a perfect match. I love that back and forth. They told the story in the ring perfectly.
And I can't remember perfectly. In NXT, they brought in a wrestler, and I have seen him before. I know he's big on the independent circuit. Right now, I'm just kind of drawing a blank on his name. And he was the new tag partner with Matt Riddle.
Oh, Lord.
And he turned on Matt on the last Wednesday show. And ending the NXT show, they had a match between the two of them. And did I enjoy that. Me, oh, Dave yeah. didn't. I enjoyed a Matt Riddle match.
Let me ask you this. I know his name is not Killer Croc or whatever it is. But
yeah, Killian.
His entrance to the ring is, oh, my gosh, that is so good.
Got to say, NXT still doing it, baby.
Oh, yeah.
They've had the Finn Balor on there, and they finally found out who's been attacking him. And NXT is awesome right now. I really do. Really love it.
Yeah, it's really good. NXT, AEW, NWA, don't know anything about. Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor's doing okay, I guess. And then you have Impact. Who cares? But
I got to tell you this, Chris. I was watching the last 2 weeks. I've watched Monday Night Raw, and my wife has joined me. Monday Night Raw, you know, I've said it once, I've said it twice. I'm going to say it over and over and over again. 3 hours is just too much.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago, they had the bit with Becky relinquishing her title because of the pregnancy announcement. They must have shown that announcement at least 4 times during the 3 hours. Okay, that includes the first time. Mm-hmm. So they show the tape over and over again. I'm on DVR. I'm going past it. And my wife says, why are they showing this again? Because they have 3 hours to fill. And this past Monday night, guess what they showed? At least 3 times again.
Yep.
Because they have 3 hours.
Well, it's a 3-hour promo class, basically.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's a 3-hour promo.
The only thing I want to spend at 3 hours at is like John Penney. I want to spend 3 hours at a Chinese buffet. You go on now. You'll be here 3 hours.
I love that man.
Oh, he's awesome.
He was a comedian genius. I loved it.
Yeah.
But his famous line was, I don't do ups, I do downs.
Yeah.
Ups defy gravity, and gravity is a law, and
I obey the law. I love that. I say that a lot. So, yeah.
I don't eat broccoli. You eat broccoli. No.
Yeah. Funny guy.
He was.
Any final comments for you, Chris?
Well, not really. I've got going to be up in a couple more hours and going to go throw cabbage around. Yay.
But, where are you moving to again? Where are you moving from Winston-Salem to where?
Be moving to Mooresville, North Carolina. It's about an hour away from here. It's going to be closer to where my work is going to be at a factory. I'm going to be we have a contract now with NGK. This place makes ceramics for Cadillac converters and spark plugs.
Okay.
And it's done by Homeland Security. If any of these chemicals was to get out into the open, I mean, it could kill everybody, half in all of Mooresville without.
Oh, joy.
Yes, it's so much fun.
I
had to sign the piece of paper for my contract, and it said radioactive. And I looked up. I went, are you kidding me? I'm going to glow in the dark.
You'll just be like the cartoon character on The Simpsons, Radioactive Man.
Yes.
Yes.
I'd rather be Powdered Toast Man.
Oh, yeah, from Ren and Stimpy.
Yes,
Toast Man. I got a quick story about going to Comic-Con my first time in Salt Lake City. You get a lot of cosplayers, you know, when you go to a comic book convention, whether it's a fan conviction or whatever. And the cosplayer was running through the crowd as Powdered Toast Man.
Love it.
And I yelled at him, Powdered Toast Man. I said, can I get a picture? And he says, anybody who knows who Powdered Toast Man from Ren and Stimpy is can have a picture. And it's one of my prized possessions. So Oh, well.
All right, then. I love it. I love
yeah.
it.
All right. Thanks,
this,
Chris.
This cartoon needs some. All right. No problem. I loved every minute of it. Thank you all very much.
And happy birthday to you, man.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You think of men with menacing, icy stares that could freeze their opponents cold. Brutes who beat their foes into submission.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
And now on Turnbuckle Trash, we have a special guest. He was there in the early days of Turnbuckle Trash. He is my friend and a very hard-working man. Here is Trent Hunsaker, who does all the behind-the-scenes work on DCW's TV show and their YouTube channel.
Dave, I am doing super well. Thanks for having me.
See, I would visit Trent's business called Death Ray Comics, and a mutual friend of ours, Tom Sherlock, and I would sit there and talk wrestling for hours on end, and it led to Trent saying, hey, why don't you do a podcast? And that led to the beginnings of Turnbuckle Trash on Death Ray's podcast network. Trent?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, that's a callback to yesteryear, when we were putting out tons of podcasts, and now I'm, you know, just way too busy to even do one. But luckily, you have soldiered on, and now I get to be the guest on yours.
Thanks again. I'm so glad we could do this. Now that you are helping out with Devotion Championship Wrestling, no, you're not an in-ring performer, but you do photos, video, and now TV. You got in early with the guys at DCW, didn't you?
Yeah, I was at their very first show, which was December 2018, and then I took photos at their next show, and then the show after that, I started filming, and I've been filming for them, or taking photos for them every show since.
The TV product is on the CW30 out of Salt Lake City. It's very well put together. And you do it all. I mean, you do everything for this show. So I wanted to ask you, what is your background in video production?
Oh my gosh! I mean, I've worked in videography in a few different aspects in the past, but mostly up until this point, it has been around kind of talking head interviews for brand commercials, or telling, you know, a video telling someone about a product or about an organization, stuff like that. And so going into this, it was kind of a learning process from the get-go. But luckily, in my schooling, I did take quite a bit of as many film classes as I could that were offered. And that's what I've kind of used as my base, and why the product might look a little bit different than other independent wrestling places or shows that they put out, because I'm trying to adhere to some very specific rules that I learned through my film classes, I think.
Yeah, I know. I've been all over YouTube, too, and watched the indie shows. And I remember one in Texas where it was just one camera, a static camera. I mean, it was in one angle, and it never changed.
Right, right.
They had some good performers. It was an enjoyable show. But your product has different camera angles, even a handheld device. And during the show, you have some incredible graphics.
Well, I definitely appreciate that, because the making the graphics for each episode is by far the most time-consuming aspect of putting the show together. The editing doesn't take too much through like different programs. You can set up all the camera angles to sync up, and then I basically edit the camera angles like you would do a live show. I just watch through in real time and then change camera angles, and it makes the edit. But it's the graphics, and then knowing making sure I have a photo of this person, or what are their stats for this graphic, whatever. That's, and then oddly enough, it takes much more time for those pieces, the graphics themselves, to render than the actual footage does. So I thank you very much. I appreciate it, because that is a huge, huge aspect of putting a show together. And it gives me so much respect for anyone that can produce a live television wrestling show, because that means you've got to have all of those graphics and everything planned out and made well ahead of time so that you can just drop them in live. This whole process has just given me a major, major respect for anyone that is able to put on an actual live sports or entertainment, anything. Any type of live show is just mind-boggling to me.
Now, I know that you started the TV show with DCW on the CW30 in Salt Lake City right before the pandemic hit. So you had a couple of shows that you were put in the can, and now you've kind of run out of product, but you're lucky enough that you've recorded some stuff since the early days, and that's what we're going to be seeing over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, we have. We're really lucky in this case because while the content for the past few episodes that we've been airing has been taped at shows long ago, it's never aired on TV. It's available on the YouTube channel, but not everyone's going to the YouTube channel or flipping through. And at the same time, revisiting these things has allowed me to, fix things that I didn't have right the first time in the editing and the production side. So we've been very fortunate for that. As things slowly and safely get back to normal, though, hopefully within, a month or so, we'll be able to start having taping specific for new episodes.
Now, I've been to some of the live events where I just let you do your thing. I mean, we're friends. We love to talk to each other. But I realize that you are really working and working hard, putting everything together so you can get the videos for the show, the camera set, audio, and more for the show itself.
Yeah, it is. And it's, the way that I've shot has been out of necessity. Basically, I'm the one person running four cameras all at once, right? And so the static shots are hopefully set up in a way that they can look good and convey something that another shot can't get. And the introduction of the hand camera, which I was late to the game to get one, but I'm very passionate about making sure I had the right camera for to use ringside, because a lot of independent wrestling you'll see uses a camera that just rests in someone's hand, and it can get great quality, but it almost makes you sick to watch it because it just shakes. it just makes everything feel so less good. that part of it has has really gone up a whole notch in these, the newer episodes where I've had the camera that does mount on my shoulder, and so now I kind of rely on that the most, and then the other ones supplement it. So and I'll be adding yet another angle at our next taping. So it's all out of you do the best with what you have, and it's made for a very unique and different video production than I've ever seen anywhere else.
Now, I want to go back a few years at your comic book store where Tom and I were talking wrestling. Now, you would always kind of chime in and say, man, that would make a great podcast. And finally, we decided to put one together. Now, I know it's also about that time that you started getting back into watching wrestling. What was going on?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I didn't get, back into wrestling. What I call my wrestling black hole of, all of college, until, what was it, like 2012, 2013. And so, but I mean, man, the internet is so cool. you can learn anything about anything, and you can watch almost anything about anything. And so I am just such a fan of just streaming services from wrestling in general. And whenever I'm watching something, I've always got a laptop that I'm just like, pause, who is that person? Google it, look them up. I'm like, oh, this is really interesting. So it might take me a few hours to get through a couple of matches, but I've just consumed so much history. And we're so fortunate that this is an industry that has been extremely well documented throughout the ages. Despite it might being on the fringes at times of popular culture, there's still an archive, or at least written down somewhere, you know, these monumentous things. And so literally, if anyone wants to dive in deep, it's pretty easy to do so.
You know, I've always said, if you want to learn about the history of wrestling, there's lots of information out there. You get videos and books and more. It'll help you understand that the shows you watch today are greatly affected by the early history from the old Carney days.
Yeah, absolutely. And how different it was. You know, we're talking like, you know, pre-World War I, right? Where you would book someone and you know, we've got it booked and this is how it's supposed to end. But guys would literally go into business for themselves. And so there was an advantage to having your champion be big enough and strong enough that if he needed to put someone down, he could do it. Because it was this weird, wild, like wild, wild west almost when it came to bringing, you know, people in and hopefully being able to get a scripted outcome. But sometimes, you know, it didn't happen.
And sometimes today those outcomes can go off script. Montreal Screwjob, just for one.
Yes.
But before we started, you were telling me about one of today's really big stars. And I'm talking about big, just girthy too, and how he got his start with some of our friends at Rocky Mountain Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, so there is, if you're familiar with the WWE, and if you're listening to this podcast, I'm assuming you are, there's a certain gentleman who in the past few months has skyrocketed to the very top of the roster by the name of Otis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, is he not just like Chris Farley incarnate?
Bees! Bees in the car! Bees everywhere! God, they're huge! They're ripping my flesh off! God, I'm starting to swell up!
Save yourself! Don't be the hero!
Your firearms are useless against them!
He's got a background in amateur wrestling and an Olympic background in Greco-Roman wrestling, which is more upper body wrestling. And so he went to a couple of different universities. He ended up wrestling for Colorado State Pueblo and then staying in the Denver area for the that's where the Olympic Training Center is. And while he was there, he started going to at what was at the time, I believe, called the Mercury Wrestling School. It's now the Rocky Mountain Pro Wrestling School. Same guy that runs it, Mercury Yaden. He'll be on this coming episode of DCW. And he trained with them for, if I've got my facts right, for a year. And then after that, he went down to NXT. So he started in NXT, I think, in 2016, 2017, and he's where he's at now. So it's very cool to have that, I don't know, like one once removed from something or, you know, from someone that I've worked with personally.
You just never know where the next star is going to be coming from. Over the last few months, you've been able to work with some pretty big names in the industry as they've come into Salt Lake City for shows and training.
Oh, it's so bizarre, to be working with people that you've only seen on a screen before. Or seen ringside before to actually have them, you know, speaking with you like a colleague. It's surreal, but at the same time, it makes me feel really good knowing that, like, oh, these are good people. Like they are regular people, but they're also like they know what it's like. They understand that you want the best just as much as they do. Yeah, I mean we've had everyone from Cheeseburger of ROH and New Japan Pro Wrestling fame. We've had Bob Evans has been there and worked with us in the past. I mean, it really has just been. I'm blanking on her name from Impact. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I mean, she was, but there was another one. She's on the Impact roster. She's a power lifter. Oh, everyone's yelling at me. You put a microphone in front of my face and half my brain disappears. But anyway.
Like you didn't have much of a brain left. You know, the 70s were rough on me and the 2000s were rough on you.
Well, which means you're not getting a whole lot at the end.
You know, I know how much work you're putting into the final product. Manny Lemons even told me how much he appreciates and how much it means to him. For you to put in all that work. And I'll tell you, when I watch it, Trent, I am so proud of you and the product that you're putting out as a one-man show. It really is good.
Dave, I can't tell you how thankful I am that this is a podcast and not a video. Otherwise, you would see the dark red hue in my cheeks right now. But thank you. That does mean the world to me, and it's good to be noticed. I'm not gonna lie. That feels really good. Thank you.
So we're gonna go back to your personal life here, Trent. When you sit down and you've got some minutes and you want to watch some professional wrestling, just for the entertainment portion of it, what wrestling do you watch?
Yeah. So I'll be honest. I stay current on the product, everything except AEW, because I don't have regular cable, and they don't publish to Hulu. So, but I stay up on my ROH, my New Japan, my WWE. But when I'm just watching for fun, there is one place I go back to. It is my sweet spot, and it was a place that was extremely innovative from the production side of things at a time when before anyone was doing anything like that. And that is the Von Erichs WCCW. Yes, sir. At the Sportatorium. I mean, they were one of the first productions to start using multiple camera angles. They were doing live interviews with one of the greatest, not just wrestling commentators, but sports commentators in Bill Mercer. Bill Mercer, who is a Radio Hall of Fame inductee, he was never a wrestling guy. He was a football guy. He was in Texas. I mean, that's kind of what he got into the business to do. But on his off time, he would come in, didn't know anything about it, but he was able to just string together commentary that works and feels very natural. And the WCCW stuff for me is my sweet spot, and it's so much fun to see characters there before they were even, you know, a thought in bigger promotions. You know, where you're seeing the Iron Sheik, and where you're seeing Kamala and Jake the Snake, like all of these guys way before they were in with the WWF at the time.
Oh, they had some great names going through Dallas. The Freebirds,
yes,
Steve Austin.
Stunning Steve Austin, exactly, yes.
Eric Embry and Gentleman Chris Adams were, yeah, you know, I've watched a bunch back in my day.
Oh, great stuff. In fact, I believe it was at that arena, I don't know if it was a taping or just a show, that Jake the Snake said that someone shot at him once.
And Trent, once again, I want to thank you for being part of the early days of Turnbuckle Trash and for all the hard work you're putting in to help us enjoy DCW even more. I know for a fact that you even get behind the mic for commentary on the TV show.
Yes, I do. Be listening and watching for Lauren Gardner, as he's always got something interesting to say.
Thanks again to Death Ray Media and the guys from Death Ray Media, and that guy's just one guy, Trent Hunsaker, for being on Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
My first day boxing, Bobby Lashley knocked out half of my teeth. That'll make you not change the channel.
Boy, I'm too hot to handle, too cold to hold, too fat to be where it's at. You know what I'm talking about.
The dark red hue in my cheeks right now.
44 years old, really?
Oh, I like that. I like all of that. Woo! You know how much a $2 steak costs? $1.99. Yeah. I ain't fighting nobody in this gym. I like that. I just made that up. But yeah, I like that. Oh, now, Memphis, that just means you and Joe know where to get the best barbecue.
Would he look good with that belt around his waist?
I think he'd fit around his waist.
And gravity is a law, and
I obey the law.
Oh, he put a beating on Manny Lynch, and I enjoyed it.
Well, Which means you're not getting a whole lot at the end.
Myself. Do you hear that, Tombstone Jesus? The final boss wants your core championship. And I hope he's ready. I hope he's got his hat on. I hope he's got his tomb suckers with him.
Is this man the next Dusty Rhodes?
Well, in your case, you get to watch the final boss, Bruce Wayne, beat up suckers up and down the streets of Utah. All bats all day.
You get to hear the greatest ringside announcer of all time.
That you never rub another man's rhubarb.